We're turning to the last few verses of the book of Haggai. Since this is our last time in the pulpit for a few Sabbaths, I'd like very much if I could conclude our study today. It would be most appropriate. Let's read the verses that we're going to be considering, verse 20 to the end. And again the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the thrones of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, I will take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and I will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. May the Lord bless his word to our heart. Now, basically there are two main points that I want us to consider. We have already set one before you, and that is the person addressed. Here in this closing message from Haggai, he's speaking unto Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah. He's speaking unto the civil ruler, the political ruler of the remnant of God's people. Previously, when the message of God came by the prophet Haggai, as you will see at the very opening verses of the book, there was included the name of the spiritual leader of the people, Joshua the high priest. But this time, this is a message for Zerubbabel only. And I think there's a significance in that, for I believe that it has to do, this message has to do with Israel the nation, Israel the political identity or entity. It is natural Israel that is being spoken of rather than spiritual Israel. And God says to the leader, the civil leader, that he is going to overthrow all nations. He's going one day to overthrow all nations. That's made very clear in the verses 22 and 23, but particularly verse 22, I will overthrow the throne of the kingdoms. I said to you last week, when you overthrow the throne, you overthrow the kingdom. You overthrow the kingdom. When the throne is broken, that's the heart. That's the heart of that civil administration broken. It's dead. Another power has taken over. And God is saying, I'm going to destroy the throne of the various kingdoms. And he goes on then to describe in ever-increasing detail what it is he's going to do. It's a complete overthrow. We can't interpret the words in any other way. God's going to overthrow the throne. He's going to overthrow the strength of the kingdoms. He will overthrow the means by which kings rule, the chariots, and those that ride in them, the horses and the riders, shall be thrown down. The sword will be employed amongst themselves to kill themselves. This is the end of the worldly kingdoms that is here spoken of. And the Lord is going to bring that about. And last week we took our time to look at a lot of verses related to the future events spoken of here. We're looking at what will take place to the thrones. And let's, as I said last week, I think, Let's be specific now. We're talking about London. We're talking about the House of Windsor. We're talking about Parliament. The House of Parliament. The House of Lords. That's what God's talking about here. As well as the French administration. And all of the other administrations down around the Mediterranean, Spain, Portugal, Italy, right down through the Mediterranean. Those are the areas, all in particular, that God will deal with. Although it will be much more extensive, it will be worldwide, but principally it will start there, for they will be the source of Antichrist's power and political strength. And this will happen when the Lord Jesus comes again. Would you look at Revelation chapter 16? These are key verses around which we may build the prophetic picture of what will happen. I've often mentioned, and with a view to grasping the understanding of the boys and the girls, I don't know how popular jigsaws still are. But I'm sure the boys and girls oftentimes do a jigsaw. Well, when you start to do a jigsaw, you just don't grab the first wee wiggly bit. But you look for key pieces. The corner bits. You can easily identify them because there's two straight lines on them. Then there's the wiggly bit. So if you can get the corner pieces, well, now you've started. You've really got somewhere. And you can build down them and you look for the straight edges on other pieces and you can very quickly get the thing established, and it's much easier that way. Well, in Scripture, there are key pieces that we must grasp if we're going to build up the picture presented to us in the Word of God of what it is that's going to happen in the future. In Revelation chapter 16. I think I've given you that text. In Revelation chapter 16, we are told of events that will take place. Look at verse 14. Well, we better read verse 13. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast. The dragon is the devil, the beast is the Antichrist. And out of the mouth of the false prophet, he was the one who went before, upholding, exalting the beast. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth. Now the earth, I believe there, is the prophetic earth. That part of the world that is encompassed within the old boundaries of the ancient Roman Empire, and that includes England, France, the Low Countries, Spain, Portugal, Italy, right round the coasts of the Mediterranean, Israel, right over to Babylon, and also part of the coast of North Africa. These are the territories once governed by the Roman Empire, and I believe that these are the territories that are spoken of here. The kings of this section of the earth, this section of the world, to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. And behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. I have to emphasize always when I come to this verse that there's no battle of Armageddon. You read about that in fiction and men rambling on about these topics and subjects, but there is no battle of Armageddon. He gathers all the Antichrist forces to Armageddon, and then he intends, having assembled them, to march them to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, or outside of Jerusalem, there they will encounter the Lord. Isaiah chapter 63... and the verse 1 of that chapter relates to the same period and to the same events. Isaiah chapter 63. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength, I that speaketh in righteousness, mighty to save. Here's the question, here's the answer. Who is this that cometh? I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. It's the Lord. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? So his garments, as the prophet looks upon him, are all stained, as if he had been trampling in a wine press, squeezing the grapes. And he had been splattered by the juice of the grapes, red juice. So his garments were all stained, red. And the question is, why are you like that? And the answer comes, and this is the Lord speaking. Verse 3, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. The year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. This is the day of the Lord's coming. You know, it says, who is this that cometh from Edom? Get your map out when you go home. Look at Jerusalem and find Edom. And you'll find it over here, on the east. It's the present area known as the Kingdom of Jordan. So he's coming from the direction of Edom. And if you carefully look at your map, you will see that the Mount of Olives is on the Edom side of Jerusalem. And the Lord Jesus is going to come again to the Mount of Olives. He took his disciples out when he ascended into heaven. He bade them farewell and ascended in a cloud to glory. And the angel spoke to the disciples and said, this same Jesus shall come in like fashion. Zechariah tells us that he will come. His feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives. So he will come toward Jerusalem from the direction of Edom. And he's coming to judge. He's coming to trample under his feet those assembled armies from the nations that support Antichrist and hate Israel. He's going to crush them beneath his feet. The earth is going to see the physical overthrow of the nations that are opposed to Israel. And in the place of man's rule, God, the Lord says that he here in Haggai, I'm going to tear down the kingdoms. I'm going to destroy the powers of men. Well, in its place, there is going to be a kingdom established. And it is the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 11. Here's another key verse in that jigsaw. Another key verse in that jigsaw. Revelation chapter 11. We come to it many, many times, don't we? But I always am thrilled when I come to it. I never weary of coming to this particular verse. Revelation chapter 11. And we're looking at the verse 15 of that verse, of that chapter. And the seventh angel sounded. Now remember, this is the last trumpet, the seventh angel. There are seven angels sounding trumpets. What's this? The last trumpet. Think of the many times we read in the Bible of the last trump. Remember the resurrection of the dead. When's it going to happen? At the sound of the last trump. The last trump. Here it is. Here it is. There's many things going to happen at that moment. Many wonderful and exciting things. And the more we read our Bible, we are able more and more to assemble these events and see the sequence of them and the context in which they are set. But here is one of the incidents that's going to happen. It's a marvelous incident. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord." This is the greatest takeover that has ever been witnessed by this earth. "And of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." This is the end of earthly, worldly man's power and reign. And from that moment on, Christ is going to be absolutely in charge. He shall reign forever and ever. So this is what Haggai is talking about. "I'll destroy the throne of the kingdom," says the Lord, "unto Zerubbabel." He was the politician. He would have a natural interest in the political future, in political events that would take place. And the Lord says to him, "I have political plans." It didn't suit some Christians to believe this, but God does have political plans. We've just read about the accomplishing of them in Revelation 11:15. He's going to take over this world. He's going to administer it. He's going to cast down all those who rule it, break up their means and methods of ruling, their assemblies and their governments and their parliaments and all the rest of it. He's going to scrap it all. And he's going to establish a new system of government. A new system of government. That's what we are looking at here. Christ's reign will take place. Chapter 14 of Zechariah. Here, and remember, that's the next book to the one we're presently looking at. So you're only turning over a few pages in your Bible to Zechariah, the chapter 14. Great chapter, you know, about the coming of the Lord, as is chapter 13 and also chapter 12. Those are wonderful chapters about the coming of the Lord. And in the verse 9 of that chapter 14, it says, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, no Allah." Hallelujah! "No Buddha! Hallelujah! No Pope! Hallelujah! One Lord. One Lord. The Lord Jehovah shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one." And look at what goes before that verse, and you'll see what leads up to that announcement. It's worth your time, and it's worth your closest study. The Lord is going to accomplish this, as he promises here in Haggai. "I will overthrow." He's going to divinely intervene one day in the affairs of men. Please understand that. There's a day when the Lord Jesus will rule and reign over the affairs of Kilskeary. His rule. Not that of the local council. Not that of the Northern Ireland Secretary of State. Not that of the British government.
And bless God, not that which Dublin may have aspirations after. Not Dublin rule. It will be the Lord will rule here. What a blessed day that will be. Now you can nurse this truth. You can feed your soul on it. You can be sure of it. For it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I will, God says. And he says it repeatedly throughout this short little passage from 20 through to the end of 23. You can study for yourself how many times God says, I will, I will, I will, or will I, as happens in one instance. But it's the same expression. An expression of determination. An absolute expression of will. And it shall come about. So, we're looking here at the fact that the person being addressed by God in this place is the civil leader, the political leader of the little bunch of people who have come back out of exile to Jerusalem. Now, the second thing I want you to notice is that when that day comes, of which the Lord has spoken to this political ruler, when this wonderful day comes, I want you to notice that Israel will be God's instrument of judgment and administration. Now that is not going to be welcomed in all the Muslim countries of the world, but that's what God's plan entails. That's what God's plan entails. Look at what it says. Verse 23. In that day, I remember, context tells us what day it is. The day when I will shake the heavens and the earth. The day when I will overthrow the thrones of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and the riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother, in that day. Saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord. This is the second time. Why does the Lord say that the second time, saith the Lord? Because, just in case you doubt it. Just in case you couldn't believe your ears or your eyes. The Lord says, now, it's me that's speaking. It's me that's speaking. I'm telling you this. So don't you doubt it. This is not a fairy tale. This is not an invention. This is not somebody's interpretation. I am saying, that I will take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord. Doubtless he couldn't believe it. So the Lord repeated his name and the fact that it was he who was speaking, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. God has plans for Israel. God has plans on this earth. National plans, political plans. I'm not discounting the fact that there are spiritual plans, but I'm just simply emphasizing the fact that God has political plans for Israel. This little nation. This little nation. God is going to use. God has a role for them. The day of destruction of the forces of anti-Christianity, the nations that back Antichrist and his ambition to destroy Israel, the day when that comes to an end, the day when that is broken by the Lord Jesus Christ, is the day of Israel's elevation. Of course, it is seen prophetically, pictorially, throughout Scripture. The day that God broke Pharaoh at the Red Sea was the day Israel became a nation and started
for the promised land. The day that David went out and toppled Goliath was in truth the beginning of David's reign, because he was seen in that day as the true ruler, the true deliverer of Israel. Not Saul. We read about Saul. And Israel has yet to choose another Saul, Antichrist. When Antichrist comes along, you know, he will enter into an agreement with Israel. Israel will look to Antichrist as the deliverer, but he'll be a Saul. And all the things are spoken of in our reading this morning, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, will happen in the day when Antichrist is selected by Israel as its leader. He will become a scourge. But David will come, toss down this Goliath, and be seen as the true ruler. So the pictures are there in Scripture. My time runs out again. But please look at Joel chapter 3. We're going to have to try very hard just to quickly look at Joel and the chapter 3. Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. So you have to go back through all those till you come to Joel, the chapter 3. And the verse 1, "For behold, in those days, and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations, and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people, and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, and parted my land." Verse 12. "Let the heathen be wakened and come to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about." Look, verse 15. "The sun and the moon shall be darkened." Now that's the signal. That tells us what day this is that we're speaking of. That day of the sun and the moon being affected, and the stars withdrawing their shining. "The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake." There's that phrase again. This is tying all these various scriptures together. "And the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel." The valley of Jehoshaphat. It's there to be seen to this day. You can go and look at it. And it lies on the Mount of Olives side of Jerusalem. The armies of Antichrist will gather up there in the north in that great plain, the place called Armageddon, and they will march down to Jerusalem. They will attack the city. And it will be just as they're about to utterly destroy it. The Lord will come to the Mount of Olives, and coming from there, from the direction of Edom, he will meet with the armies of Antichrist and destroy them. Where? In the valley of Jehoshaphat. In the valley of Jehoshaphat. God says, "I will gather all nations." Verse 2 of Joel chapter 3. He's going to bring them all. Now, we read in Revelation 16 how the three spirits, like frogs, went out of the mouth of the devil to gather all the nations. Both statements are true. The devil will move them to gather, but the God of heaven who sits on the throne is sovereignly bringing to pass his will, even through the actions of the devil. Even through the actions of the devil. It's a day of conversion for Israel. Zechariah chapter 12. quickly now, let's turn to it, Zechariah chapter 12. We're looking at verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth out forth the heavens and layeth the foundations of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about. That's the same event as we have just read about in Joel, the gathering of the nations to Jerusalem. The gathering of the nations to Jerusalem. When they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and Jerusalem, in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. You know, a burdensome stone is an annoying stone that keeps getting in your way. You stub your toe on it. You can't move anything because of it. It's in a bad position. It's a burden. And that's how it will be with Jerusalem. Everybody will say, look, there'll never be peace until we'll get rid of Jerusalem. It's a nuisance. It causes trouble all the time. That's what they say about the Jews. That's what Hitler said. The whole trouble in Germany is the fault of the Jews. They have taken over our financial structures. Let's get rid of the Jews. That's what the Palestinians say. It's what the Iraqis say. It's what the Iranians say. The whole trouble in the Middle East, the Jews. Wait till England is saying it. And France is saying it. And Spain is saying it, and Portugal, and Italy, and all the countries are saying it. It's a burdensome stone. Let's dig it up and destroy it. Let's remove it out of our path. That's what is spoken of here. In that day will I make. God's going to cause this to come about. Because you see, he's going to destroy the nations that come against Jerusalem, that hate Jerusalem. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness. And that's what he said to, or basically what he said to in Haggai. The horses, the men, the soldiers. The Lord's going to deal with them. And then look what he says. I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah. Open them in mercy. Open them in kindness. And the day of their isolation will have come to an end. If you look at the same chapter in the verse 9, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddo. Israel's going to be saved, my friend, in exactly the same way you're saved. Exactly the same way. They'll be born again of the Spirit of God. They'll be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Saved the same way. There's only one way of salvation. And there it is. God will pour His Spirit upon them as a result of the Spirit coming upon them. The Spirit of grace and supplication. They'll break down and they'll mourn. And they shall look upon Him whom they have pierced. The one they crucified. They'll look on Him. Look on Him in faith. If you haven't looked on Jesus Christ the crucified in faith, you're not saved. Let me tell you that. And they shall begin to mourn. It says they shall mourn for him as the great mourning in the valley of Megiddo, the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon. Verse 11. That is a reference to the death of a godly king, Josiah. Godly king. Foolishly, he was rushed into battle and he was killed in the battle and there was great grief. God says that's what it'll be like again.
When they see the one whom they pierced, whom they crucified, they will break down and mourn. They'll grieve over how they rejected Jesus Christ. But it will be a mourning that will bring life. It's repentance unto life. And in that day, we're back now at Haggai. In that day, saith the Lord, verse 23, I will take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and I will make thee as a signet. What is a signet? A signet we always associate with a ring, a signet ring. And it's linked very closely to the word signature. When a document was signed and filled out, there was some wax poured onto it, hot, and then the ring pressed into the wax. And there was the impression of what was written on the ring. And that document had no authority, no power, until the ring was applied. But once the signature of the ring was on the document, it was absolute authority. It spoke with the voice of the king. And the Lord is going to make Israel his signature. He's going to make Israel his authority in the world. And I'm going to say this to you. These words are very personal. In that day, saith the Lord, I will take thee, O Zerubbabel. Now I'm going to say this to you. I believe this man Zerubbabel, who is long dead, will be raised from the dead, like all the saints who have died, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, and the Lord's going to make him governor in Judah. I believe that. I cannot interpret these words in any other way. The Lord says, I'll make thee Zerubbabel. I'll make thee my signature. My signet. For I have chosen thee. Now that may come as a bit of a shock to you. But it ought not. Because I'm going to read some verses to you. In closing. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2. Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? The word means to administer. Do you not know the saints shall administer the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Listen, God has placed us and officers in this little congregation, this little place, this little kingdom. God has placed men in charge of it, and they rule it. And I hope every member of this congregation understands that. The men who are appointed in this place, they have God's authority. They don't come along with their notions and their ideas so that when you say, no, I'm not going to listen to the elders, you are not setting aside man's opinion. You're setting aside the Lord's authority. Oh, that we understood Presbyterianism, for it is nothing other than the rule set forth in Scripture. And just as there are Christians appointed of God in His providence who rule over this little place, one day the saints will rule the world. And Paul says, surely one day you're going to rule the world. Surely you can rule your own affairs now without running off to a heathen court. That's what he's saying. He's drawing from the fact that Christians will rule the world and saying, surely you can rule your own affairs. Now, do you realize that? Now, I don't know what position God has for you, my friend, but He has a position for you. You're going to rule in company with your brethren and sisters, and some will have higher positions than others. Let me read another verse or two to you. Matthew chapter 19. Verse 27. Then answered Peter,
and said unto him, that's unto the Saviour, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit, this is the regeneration we're looking at, the time of restitution of all things, when there's going to be a regenerating in this world. There's going to be a new spirit entirely in this world. Ye which have followed me, comma, in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, comma, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones. And I'll tell you this for nothing. Peter's throne won't be in Rome. But they're going to sit on thrones. That's what the Savior says. They're going to rule. Judging the 12 tribes of Israel. But go on. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. All of God's saints are going to have restored to them in that age that is to come 100-fold of that which they, for Christ's sake, have forfeited and given up here. The saints of God have a great future. Israel has a great future. The 12 apostles specifically are here told the role they have. And I believe that the Lord said to Zerubbabel the same. Here's what you will be doing, Zerubbabel, in that day. In that day. Listen, men and women, the second coming of Christ and events in this world is not a sort of a far-off, airy, fairy, shadowy matter that you really can't understand. It is a truth that consists of solid, plain statements. And here's one of them. God says to this man Zerubbabel, in that day will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and I will make thee as a signet. For I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. I love the way this book ends. How did it begin? With a tiny little remnant, sitting in the midst of the dust and the ashes of the ruined Jerusalem and ruined temple, cowering under the shadow of many enemies, fearful of the threats that were addressed to them. But see how it ends. The man who led that cowering little band is told, I'm going to make you my signet in the day when I return. You and I are called to stand for the Lord in the midst of the ashes and the ruins of what was once paradise. Our father Adam, by his sin, brought ruin to paradise, and we've been living in the ruins of it since. But there's a glorious future. And it's all made possible by the blood of Jesus that was shed upon the cross. Christian, we have a glorious future. Tell me, are you part of it? Are you saved today? Can you take home these words and look at them and extract from them every sweetness and say, it's mine. I'll be there. Or must you realize that you'll not be there because you're not saved? You're not a friend of Jesus Christ. You're an enemy. Up to now, you've utterly rejected him and refused his every offer of mercy. Please, today, I would say, like Moses of old said to his father-in-law, come thou with us, and we will do thee good. for God has spoken good of us. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Lord, bless us. Bless us, we pray, and make us to love Thy word and to love Thyself. Hear us now, for Christ's sake. Amen.